Hi again, everybody. Welcome to
Making Waves.
WakeShalineNow.com. Excited for this one, Steve, because we're going to have the bulk of the conversation today will be with 12th District Representative Mike Steele talking about things from the recent legislative session. But we're going to actually dub this our Apple Blossom edition of Making Waves, 99th annual event coming up. You and I are going to be down there on the parade route, broadcasting live on LakeShalineNow.com. Looking forward to that. And special treat because we're going to hear in today's program a little bit from the Royal Navy because they made their annual pilgrimage to the Lake Chelan Boating Club earlier in the week, and always a fun time to have the gals come out.
Queen Meghan and her court, Meghan Clausen, has pretty much grown up in the boat club. We've, as members of the club for years, been watching her grow up for years. Her parents, of course, are club members, and she's a tremendous young lady that's representing, along with the Royal Court, Manson very well for the Enchanted event for this weekend. The last weekend was the Washington State Apple Blossom Festival, and this week it's Manson's 99th.
99, wow. You haven't been to all of those, have you?
Almost.
Just kidding, Steve.
Last 35 or 40, something like that.
Hey, by the way, I want to give some thank yous because not only to this week's Making Waves, but to our parade coverage coming up on Saturday. We want to thank some of our sponsors, including a big thank you to Reed's Marine in Manson, because they're going to let us set up shop there, Steve, and that'll be our broadcast location. If you come by that particular spot, you'll see the big, they're 10-foot tall flags for Lake Chelan Now. You'll know where we're at there. We'll be in the back of a pickup truck, right?
You bet. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Mine.
High-tech stuff. Yeah. Back of that truck with our remote broadcast gear, and looking forward to carrying coverage of the parade and other sponsors. And again, thanks to Reed's for letting us set up shop there. Also thanking North Cascades Bank. And by the way, they're once again, Steve,
Pig jig, folks.
Pig jig, yeah. So you're going to go early and do the pig jig.
You betcha. Right after I do the Kiwanis annual breakfast, 6:30 till 10 o'clock at the Grange.
You might want to reverse the order.
Waddle.
Some of the fun stuff there. But the North Cascades Bank putting on, yes, the pig jig again. And our coverage, by the way, coming up will be brought to you as well by Chelan Realty. Slidewaters at Lake Chelan, and they're going to have the all-new Lakeside Surf coming later this summer. But right now, they're getting finished up in time for their Memorial Day weekend, these luxury cabanas. And, Steve, they're available for rent now. If you want to book a group, you can do that. And you can do it online. And check it out and get your own cabana for the day.
A cabana for the day at the Wave.
There you go. And also the Manson Chamber of Commerce. And finally, thanks to Chelan Cellars and Sorrento's Ristorante for sponsoring things on LakeChelanNow.com and on Making Waves. So, again, we're going to be talking, we promise, Mike Steele and the recent legislature.
Coming off the legislative session, it's an interesting list of asks and receives that the legislature was able to approve as part of the budget process. Mike, of course, was involved in that in our backyard, half of the ask anyway, towards the purchase of potential purchase of Loeffler Field. Amongst other projects from North Central Washington, but he did well for the legislative district, very well.
Yeah, he'll explain, Steve. He had to kind of almost, he had roughly over a half $1 million left to devote, and he had the request from the Loeffler Park project. He also had a request from Chelan for the community center they're trying to get built there. And he said, you know what, I just kind of split it in half, and away we went, and both of them got something, as well as other projects that we'll talk about in detail. But what I was fascinated by a little bit was the conversations. He considered that whole budget that he was working on in a part of a very bipartisan event, and really liked the way that both sides of the aisle worked to come to consensus on what they wanted to fund out of those various budgets. However, he didn't feel quite so kindly about the later part, when a lot of last-minute legislation got pushed through that created an awful lot of taxes that people are grumping about and grousing about already. But interesting to get his thoughts on that.
The legislative session, as they approach the deadline, usually involves, you've done some mediation ahead of time, you think you got your stuff put together. In the last minute, people spring things, dollars get moved, allegiance shift. And in order to get out of there on time, a lot of things happen very quickly that sometimes are favorable for this district and our area, and sometimes not. And it's something that we don't see at the federal level so much. At least the sides are coming together and chatting rather than it's my way or no way.
However, it tends to be the party in power prevails on those last-minute issues. And
you're talking about Western Washington? Or oh, I got it. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know what this is all about. So the Mike Steele conversation is coming up. And before we send it away to the break, Steve, again, let's just kind of run down the parade that we'll be at and even some of the earlier things because the program will be coming out at the very beginning when they have some activities going on beginning on Thursday, May 9th.
Yeah, there's some. Our show begins on the 9th, but you get into Friday tomorrow, if you're listening on Thursday when the program comes out. Chicken Noodle Dinner is in the evening. This is a shift, a change in location and time. It's from 5:30 to 6:30 in the evening at the High School Commons. And as that wraps up, then the event includes the pageant, a formal event at 6:30. That's at the Manson High School gymnasium as well. And really kicking off the weekend, and has a lot of kids and the school folks involved there. And then, as we mentioned early in the morning, just ahead of my appearance at the Pig Jig, we'll be doing the Kiwanis barbecue, the breakfast in the morning. We do a barbecue later in the year and later in the summer. That's at the Grange Hall right downtown. And then all sorts of things start happening downtown, including the quilt show, the Pig Jig that we mentioned. You got the street fair that's going on. Of course, the parade is at 11 o'clock. 3-on-3 ball follows that downtown from 1 until 5 o'clock after the parade. That's a big event. A lot of folks come from far and wide. So there's just a weekend-long bunch of activities here in Manson.
Somewhere in that time frame, 1 to 5 of that 3-on-3 tourney, I think I'm scheduled for a nap.
I wouldn't be surprised at your age.
Lastly, a word of caution, Steve, because I've been looking at the weather forecast. I assume you have, too.
It's going to be a warm one.
Sunscreen, right?
I have been to Apple Blossoms when it snowed. So I'm looking for – that was quite some time ago. However, I'm looking forward to this one. Maybe shorts and my new T-shirt, my Lakes Land Now shirt.
There you go. And, again, for me, sunscreen. I remember coming here one year, many years ago, and just getting fried crispy critters.
I remember you being red and peeling and complaining. And, bring some more water. I need some, yeah.
So a word to the wise, to our listeners out there, come prepared. Hats, sunscreen, and whatever. Don't forget.
I'll have mine.
Okay, glad to see it. All right, well, going to be fun. Certainly looking forward to it. And we'll be doing some live Facebook streaming from there as well. But for the entirety of the parade, we're going to be broadcasting on our audio channel, Lake Chelan Now. There'll be an easy link from the website. Just go to the front page. And we're hoping, Steve, to be able to get some visits with some of the past royalty and some of the movers and shakers that have made this event happen, not only this year, but, you know, so many years in the past.
It'll be fun. I look forward to chatting with some folks that we haven't connected with in a while. And it'll be great. It'll be good to do the 99th Manson Apple Blossom Festival.
When we come back from the break here, we will be hearing from 12th District Representative Republican Mike Steele from Chelan right after this on Making Waves.
Join us on the second weekend of May for Manson's 99th Apple Blossom Festival. Thank you.
Chelan Realty, the oldest real estate firm in the Lake Chelan Valley, owned and operated by the Higgins family since 1972. If you're looking to sell or buy real estate, check out the team at Chelan Realty. Visit online at chelanrealty.com or stop in at 141 East Wooden Avenue, downtown Chelan.
Mike Steele with us visiting here today, representative out of Chelan, Republican, talking about a review of the legislative session recently completed. And Mike, the good news was lots of funding coming the way of the 12th district, some $63 million, a little bit more than that. And one of the big recipients of that would be Wenatchee Valley College.
That's correct. We're trying to fund a project there for the Wells Hall replacement and work through that project with them. That was a large chunk of money. Really pleased to see that come to fruition. And I love the way in which the community and technical colleges prioritize their projects. It makes it much easier from a capital budget writer's perspective. We just go down the list and fund those priorities as much resource as we can and take it from there. So they were prioritized very well on that list, and that's why they were so successful in getting their funding.
And then, of course, other projects, before we talk about here in the Lake Chelan Valley, spread throughout this north central Washington region.
Yeah, one of the fun things that I had the opportunity to participate in this year was, of course, writing the capital budget. And through that writing, I was able to create some new grant funding, which will be put into effect next year. But we created a competitive grant fund for libraries and fully funded all of the requests this year. So it was really exciting. Last minute, Winthrop came to me and said, hey, can we get $2 million to build ourselves a brand new library in Winthrop? And I said, well, let me see what I can do. So we created this new library fund that will go into effect next year. But because they were successful in being the first group out, we got a new library in Winthrop for $2 million. We were able to complete the final phases of the town hall in TWSP, which will serve as their communications and command center, which will help them when they're faced with a major fire like they were in the past years with communication that went down. So we're trying to address that through this building of the new town hall. So really excited about that, too.
Here locally in the valley, you had a number of requests, including by the city to purchase land on the Butte. They want to do a park out in Manson School District, a community center that wants to get built here in the community of Chelan as well. Let's begin first. We'll go out to Manson School District, some $400,000 for early learning facilities. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, as the ranking member of Education Committee in the House of Representatives, obviously some of my priority funding goes to schools and school districts, and this was a big one for me. And early learning, I think, is a huge, needs to be a huge priority for the state. I think early learning is where we need to be focusing our efforts for these kids to be more effective in the K-12 system. So this facility will help Manson do that. It's a $400,000 facility that they're going to be augmenting and building, and I'm really excited to see that come to fruition.
We talk also about Manson, a community push there to purchase some property. The old Leffler Field has been known as for years. They want to make it now Leffler Park. They put in a request for $500,000, and the Lake Chelan Community Center as well. They're hoping to build a community center here in Chelan. They also had a request, I believe, in excess of $500,000. I know you can't fund everything, and looks like we kind of split the pie on this one, because the Leffler Park project awarded $265,000 and the community center $250,000.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I had about $500,000 left over in total for my project list in the district, and I looked at those two projects and said, well, I want to make sure I fund at least a portion of them both. So that's exactly what I did. Took the $500,000, split it in half, and directed those dollars that way.
Also, some things, Historic Downtown Chelan Association, not a large bequeathment, but yet $52,000 for some studies, I guess, on revitalization.
Exactly right. What can we do in our downtown core to make it more effective mobility-wise, but also what infrastructure are we lacking in our downtown? As we've not really addressed infrastructure in the downtown core for almost 30 years, it's time to take a look at what our power needs are, what our lighting needs are, and just what would make the downtown a little bit more vibrant. And so I was excited to work with the Downtown Association to get that funding and then ultimately work with them through the study phase to see what we need.
Any timeline on that?
I think we want to get it going as quickly as possible. The funding will kick in July 1. They'll get a letter from the Department of Commerce, and Department of Commerce will help facilitate that work.
All right. Also, Heritage Heights, the senior housing facility there, they were awarded $52,000.
Yes, that was one of the early requests I got in session from those folks that are working on the senior living initiative, because as you know, Dennis, we're seeing a huge increase in need in that area. And as more and more of our folks retire and are moving to Lake Chelan, or more and more of our folks are needing assisted living that are living here locally, I want to make sure that we're addressing those needs. And so does Heritage Heights. So we're working on things around cognitive care and memory care and trying to figure out how we build out a facility somewhere in the valley that's centrally located that allows for these services to be had and will increase the capacity that we need for these senior living folks.
Lastly, locally, Mike, topic here, $206,000 Chelan SUD design. Probably doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people, including this reporter when I first looked at it. What's that about?
That's for substance use disorders. And I can say in general, one of the major priorities of the capital budget this legislative session was mental and behavioral health. And we know that every community across Washington State, including our own right here in Lake Chelan, has these sorts of needs where opioid addiction is prevalent, where alcohol addiction is prevalent, where mental and behavioral health issues are prevalent. We want to make sure and address those needs, and that's what this money did here locally. But we spent hundreds of millions of dollars focusing on mental and behavioral health across Washington State. So you'll continue to see that, I think, moving forward in the next several sessions. But this was a big crack at it this year.
And that will be carried out via the Columbia Valley Health Clinic?
Correct, yes. That's the facility that it's currently going to be benefiting from those dollars.
Let's shift gears from local, Mike, if we can. One of the things that a lot of people were, maybe in some regards, even kind of laughing about, and why are they doing this, was the push to make Washington State daylight savings time year-round.
Yeah, interesting. So I actually was on that bill. I co-sponsored that bill. You know, I just think it's time. You know, we've got other states around us that are doing it. And it's, you know, there was a time when daylight savings changes made sense. But I think we've moved beyond that. And, you know, because we live in a digital era, and actually there's a lot of folks that, well, we're looking out for seniors and folks that suffer from seasonal depression, all were in favor of this kind of a bill. So been interesting to get the feedback from all kinds of folks all over the state.
Well, it seemed to get pretty overwhelming acceptance within the legislature. But now I understand it's not just that easy. You don't just implement this. You need federal approval.
That's correct. You do have to get federal approval. And other states have done this. But they do. It does have to start with the state legislature sending that message to the federal government. And typically, I think it's pretty much a formality at this point. But we'll see what the federal government does.
Has that been already forwarded to the federal government?
I'm not sure about that. That's up to the governor's office at this point.
All right. Now, also, there has been a lot of feedback, and you'd see a lot of articles posted. I'm sure you've been on the other end of some phone calls about what many say was kind of a last-minute push by the legislature to implement all these new taxes that are going to strap everybody. Your reaction to that?
Well, I will tell you that this was the most intense session I've been part of, including the special sessions that I've been part of as well. It was an incredible budget process. Now, as someone who serves on the capital budget, one of the three budgets, I also happen to serve on the Appropriations Committee, which is the committee responsible for creating the operating budget. So two different budgets, two different styles, and two very different negotiations. Capital budget, three Republicans, three Democrats wrote that budget. We started from the very beginning of session, day one, working together in the same room, crafting that budget. When you saw that budget pass off the House floor, you'll note that it was a unanimous vote and no amendments. Not the case with the operating budget. The operating budget we didn't see until 2 days before the final close of session. That's a 900-page bill. They also passed it in a very different fashion than they have in the past. They did it on what they call a conference agreement. So between the House and the Senate, they went to conference. The majorities went to conference and agreed on their budget, which means they weren't going to allow any amendments or any changes to it on the floor. So the minority party, us, we had no influence at all on writing that operating budget. They also had to call an emergency meeting of the Finance Committee to pass taxes so they could finish the budget. And that was the day before they voted on that operating budget. So there was my frustration was there was no public involvement. There was no public testimony. They didn't have time to come to Olympia. They didn't even know when the bills were going to be released. And half the time we were being expected to vote on a bill that we hadn't even had enough time for the code reviser to write the bill and for all of us to read it before we were expected on the floor to vote. So it just was really a frustrating end to a very intense session.
Now, regardless, Mike, in my opinion, of what side might be in control, be it Republican or be it Democrat, that doesn't seem like a very efficient, very fair way to be doing business. So how does that, or does it even become addressed to try and maybe prevent this from happening in later legislative sessions?
Well, one of the bills that was offered early on in session and was rejected was to move up the timeline for cutoff, meaning moving up the date, moving closer to the start of session, the date for which policies can be discussed, and then when the financial policies have to be cut off, meaning you can't introduce any new bills. We tried to move that date up in the process, giving us more time to write the budget, giving us more time to have public scrutiny, but that was soundly rejected. And they made us run right up to the deadline. My hope is that if I were ever in a place, a position to offer influence in that budget writing process, that we would do it in an open and transparent way, and that we'd give ourselves plenty of time for the public to debate it, plenty of time for the other side to see it, plenty of time for the... I mean, I can tell you, as someone who writes another budget for the state, it can be done in a bipartisan way. I mean, we're a great example of that. The Capitol budget team, and I feel very close to these folks on both sides of the aisle, we worked for months to write this in a bipartisan way. We listened to each other's ideas. We debated those ideas in a room, and we came out with a document that the whole of the legislature supported. So I think, you know, it's very interesting. Granted, the numbers are different. You know, the capital budget is only $4 billion, and the operating budget's around $52 billion. I get that's the difference in numbers, but, you know, it can be done. And so that's what I'd like to see in the future.
I can tell you're passionate about that.
Absolutely. I mean, I believe in bipartisan work. I believe that Republicans have good ideas. I believe that Democrats have good ideas. And you send us over there to be professional and to work with one another. And you don't have to agree on everything, you know, but you can still be respectful and you can still treat it like a workplace where we have to get, at the end of the day, the people's business done, and do that in a way that's respectful of everybody's interests and try to fund things that make the most difference for the most people in Washington State.
I want to ask you a question, dovetails on what happened, kind of this last moment push to get all of this legislative change made. Do you feel that is a driver of some of this east-west divide that we're hearing so much about now, that, you know, people on the east side are saying is all being controlled by Democrats over in the Seattle area, and they're running the entire state and they're not listening to us, they don't care about us? Is it issues like this that really drive that in deeper?
Some of it. I mean, I think the challenge for me, as I really do see the divides in the legislature, are really around urban versus rural, not Republican versus Democrat. And so my goal has always been to explain and express the difficulties that we face in my rural and sometimes suburban communities in the 12th Legislative District. Try and explain that in a way that they understand. I mean, the thing that we have going for us in the 12th Legislative District is that it is not a secret that everybody in Seattle comes to play here in the 12th Legislative District in all of our resort communities. So there is a fondness for this place that goes a long way in helping us craft a message. But I think, yes, I mean, you know, there's a sense over there on the west side, Seattle, that Seattle's sort of lost. You know, it's too late for them, so they might as well legislate for the other side of the state and do the things that they would have done in their own homes 20 years ago, but didn't get the chance. And so, you know, their Puget Sound's dirty, so we're going to keep, you know, we're going to regulate these other streams and bodies of water, so to the point where no one will be able to access them. And it's those sorts of issues that do get a little frustrating when you're saying, hey, we have a vested interest in protecting our own communities. Let us do that in a way we think is most appropriate. You don't need to legislate from Seattle into our communities. And I do think there's a legitimate frustration there.
I'm not going to put you on the spot about viability, but I think everybody's heard the conversation, and it's not just Washington State. We're hearing the same issue in Oregon, for example, and the communities in eastern Oregon, which were very similar to Washington State, more rural-minded. And there have been some that suggest perhaps that the east sides of those two states should remove themselves and create their own state.
Yeah, you know, I think that for me, as someone who in my day job works very hard to promote the beauty and grandeur of this place, we want to share it with other folks on the west side. We want them to come and invest in our communities and be part of our communities. My philosophy really is, just because something isn't going your way, you can't pick up your marbles and go home. You gotta stay at the table. You gotta continue the conversation. And I truly believe that the whole of Washington State is great, and we have assets and amenities at every corner and every spot in this state that we're so fortunate. And I think if we were to split the state, it would take a unique character that is Washington State and really damage it in a way I think that would be irreplicable. So I don't support that, and I think working hard to continue to find unity and find common ground and continue the conversations is the best way to move forward.
Well, I also don't think it's very likely that something like that would actually occur, but yet the talk is out there. Maybe if nothing else, it will get those in some of those metropolitan areas to give a listen to that. You mentioned your other job, your real job here full-time as the director of the Lake Chelan Chamber of Commerce. We're now just coming into full season. It's been really active with hydroplane races just this recent weekend, and a Cinco de Mayo parade, and that's an event that's growing. Memorial Day parade around the bend, Manson Apple Blossom, all kinds of things happening. And then right after that, Memorial Day weekend, and bang, you're into that summer season. So you haven't been back in the saddle here very long since coming back from Olympia, but how's it feeling?
Oh, it's so great to be back. I mean, it's so great to be home. And even though that we've hit the ground running, I mean, it's such a great energy, such a positive energy. And when you've spent the last several months sort of in the grind, trying to negotiate public policy that in and of itself, there were some very weighty issues we dealt with this year in the legislative session. And some, you know, you make sweeping changes for, and you affect the lives of every person in Washington State when you make these decisions. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of burden to bear. And it's so nice to come home and just be around people you know and be around everyday people who biggest worries maybe are, you know, buying eggs at the grocery store versus trying to, you know, argue over vaccines. There's a lot of things that just make home the great place that it is. And I'm not quite caught up on rest yet, but I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm really looking forward to actually to enjoying all the community activities coming up.
I'm going to let you go, but I do want to ask, as you look to this summer and maybe even into the fall season, how are things projecting out? What do you feel it's going to be like here in terms of the tourism industry?
Well, our May has really just kicked off with a great bang, and I hope that that will continue. I get a sense that it will. The economy is doing fairly well. We're facing the lowest unemployment rates in the state here in this legislative district. So all signs, all indicators are saying business is going strong, economy is good, people are willing to travel and spend. So my anticipation is it's going to be a solid summer. Hopefully we'll avoid forest fires. That's obviously the biggest worry that everybody has. And with the high temperatures already starting, there is some concern around that. But if all goes well, weather cooperates and fires stay out of the area, I think we're in for a fantastic summer.
And our thanks to 12th District Representative Mike Steele. Always interesting conversation, Steve, to hear what happened in Olympia, some of the things that hit closer to home here. And it was fun to talk about, like, for example, the year-long daylight savings time. And even though it's been approved, it now has to be passed by the federal government, but should happen.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that. We'll see how fast the feds move on it, but it'll be nice. There's only, what, four states that are on daylight savings time year-round. When you start booking flights to other places and you got time change, you got to compute all this stuff, and all those providers, airlines, what have you, also have to compute all this stuff. But it'll be a transition.
Wow, I didn't know this was done for the benefit of Steve Bykus and his airline travel, but that's as good a reason as any, Steve.
I've already booked Branson in Hawaii again, so now, and California, come to think about it.
There you go. Anyway, thank you very much to Representative Steele. Again, I want to thank everybody who's working so hard on the Apple Blossom Parade. And Steve, one last invite for people to check it out on LakeshoreLineNow.com, the live audio stream, and then also some of the live Facebook things that we'll be having up there. And they'll be up there via the Facebook and whatnot for a long, long time. So if you can't make it or can't listen live, some of that will still be accessible on the website.
You bet. And looking forward to participating in the 99th Festival. Close to that century mark. Wow.
Wow, indeed. And that is
Making Waves
for this week. So long, everybody. Catch you next time.
Bye, Maddie.